I would want to do. And yet in this building this morning, there are some of you here that have pitched your tent toward hell. Amen. You see, here was Lot, and you know, Jesus said that this righteous man, spoke of Lot, the righteous man said, he was vexed daily by their conversation. He was vexed daily. There was something inside of Lot, even though he was not altogether right. There was something in him that hated the sin that he was surrounded by. I believe that Lot, like most all men, was greatly influenced by his wife, and no doubt probably by his daughters. And the day came, I didn't read it all, but you know, there was a great strife between the herdmen of Abraham and between the herdmen of Lot, because their flocks were so great. And so Abraham said, let's not have strife, let's just separate. If you choose the left hand, you choose the right, I'll take the left, you take the left, I'll choose the right, so I don't get you confused here. And Lot looked around, probably some consultation from his family, and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom there, and he had cattle, and he said, well, this would be great. He said, I'll just take these well-watered plains. Well, that was bad enough, but the problem was he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He pitched his tent toward hell. Hallelujah. Fire and brimstone came down from God out of heaven and destroyed that place. And so as far as I'm concerned, the man pitched his tent toward hell. I don't really think that Lot ever thought about coming to the place where he would lose the touch of God. I never really think that Lot ever intended to live inside the city of Sodom. But like so many others, little by little, they begin to back up. Little by little, we step toward the world. We step toward sin until we lose the touch of God. And we lose the fear of sin. And we lose the power and the touch of Almighty God in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you see, there came a day. I believe they just moved a little closer. You know, they just kept getting a little closer and a little closer. Oh, you know, when folks begin to backslide, and then the first thing they want to do is the ladies want to trim their hair, and then they want to get them a ring, and then all of a sudden their cheeks aren't rosy enough, and so they got to pat a little makeup on them. Oh, are y'all still here? And then the eyes need a little soot put around them. And then all of a sudden they get interested in gardening. And they have to get them some breeches so they can work in the garden. And then we got to have a television so we can stay up with the news. And then all of a sudden everything gets newsy. Are y'all still here? And little by little and step by step, we pitch our tent toward Sodom and toward hell and lose the touch of Almighty God in our lives and in our churches. Woo! Oh, hallelujah! Nobody wants to preach against sin anymore. I don't want to say nobody. Many most places no longer want to preach against sin. You know, we don't want to name things. Well, it's all right to talk about sin, you know. But as Brother Rich said years ago, sometimes you've got to put the label back on the bottle. We like this paint with that broad brush. God hates sin. Well, we know that. God wants you to live holy. Another big stroke. Well, we all know that. Hey, but brother, and you can do that all day and get by with it. But when you come on down and you say, ladies, God wants you to let your hair grow long. Ladies, God wants you to wear dresses and burn your slacks. Come on now. When you say, brother or sister, if you're going to walk right, if you're going to talk right, if you're going to keep your home holy and happy, you'll have to throw your television out the door. Oh, that makes another story. Woo! Somebody say amen. Well, we got to preach a little bit here. Huh? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. But oh, we don't want to hear that. But the problem is, when you get to pitching your tent toward the world, when you get to desiring the world, when you get to desiring the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life gets a hold of you, you're just a few steps from going down. You're camping on the edge of hell. You're camping on the edge of judgment. You're camping on the edge of the curse. You're camping on the edge of losing the touch of God's almighty hand in your life. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe personally that they started in the farthest corner away from Sodom. And the cows grazed around there. And no doubt the wife and daughter said, "Hey, Dad, we need to move. Well, let's go a little further this way." They moved a little closer to Sodom. A little while later, "Hey, Dad, we need to move again. Now, which way? Let's go a little closer to Sodom." And I believe if you could have traced their steps, you'd have seen step by step they moved closer to Sodom until finally one day, hey, then they had a powwow and they said, "You know, let's just sell the cows and let's just move into Sodom. Let's just move in there. It's got good homes, running water, septic and sewer, air conditioning," which they didn't have, you know what I'm saying? We're modernizing a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Tired of the farm life, tired of the old cows, tired of the old flies. Let's move on downtown. Let's leave the old holiness church and let's go there where we can feel good again. Huh? Woo! I'm tired of hearing Brother Marquis. I'm tired of him railing on my television and my makeup and my jewelry and my slacks and my VCR and my internet. I'm tired of that. Let's get out of there. Let's go somewhere where we can feel good. Oh, brother, let me tell you something. You leave holiness, you'll be camping on the edge of hell. You leave the truth, and you'll be camping on the edge of destruction. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh yeah. If you don't believe it, you talk to this man right here on the front row, Junior. He'll tell you, preached in Maine. Oh, it's been probably 10 years ago. There at a church. Even my cousin had done his best to hold a standard. When he left, an old liberal came in. And I was the last holiness preacher that's ever preached there. Yeah, I'm the last holiness preacher that's been through there. And brother, I was only there by accident. As far as they're concerned, it was an accident. As far as I'm concerned, it was the divine will of Almighty God. But I'll never forget, as that preacher drug me back in his little office after a week of revival, souls praying, revival falling. My Lord, if that had been my church, Brother Sam, I'd have said, "Man, come on. Woo! God's moving. Let's have church. Keep on." No, but he had to drag me back in his little office and tell me, "I used to preach like that. I used to believe like that. I used to, but I learned better." Yeah, he's learned better, all right. Now he's got them with them up there seesawing like seaweed, even with their slacks, and they're shaking and catching raindrops. Come on now. Come on here now. They're smoking and drinking and singing and leading a choir. Oh, brother, they've been wearing their slacks and blue jeans and halter tops and mini skirts. And it's happening all across. What happened, preacher? They pitched their tent towards Sodom. Come on here now. Somebody failed to stand on their feet and say, "We're not backing up. We're not giving up. We're not turning around. We're going to stay with the truth of God's divine word." Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, glory! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! My brother, I don't think he'll mind me telling it. Amen. When he left here several years ago, the Holy Ghost spoke, "You better not go." The Holy Ghost said, "You're in for trouble." Oh, he almost lost them boys. Almost lost them and his wife and his own life also down there in Sodom, running around these old liberal dribbling churches where they were weaving like seaweed and saying they felt the great power. But oh, thank God, my brother still had enough in him that said, "This ain't right. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go somewhere where I can hear the truth." Oh, thank God. I said, thank God for the truth. It free. And the church say amen. Lift your hands and praise. Oh, let me preach you a little bit this morning. Give me a little time, will you? Oh, listen. And here's the problem. It kept moving and it kept moving and it kept moving. Till finally said it moved into Sodom. And the next thing you read, Lot is sitting at the gate with the elders. And the first thing that happened to Lot was Lot lost his identity sitting at the gates of hell. Woo! He lost his identity. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to this church and every holiness church across the country. He wants us to lose our identity. Woo! Hold on, my couple of shy. You said, preacher man, it ain't all in the outward dress. You're exactly right. But if you get it inside, you're going to identify with the Lamb. If you get it inside, you're going to identify with holiness. If you get it inside, you're going to identify with God's Word. You will not be ashamed to identify as a child of the King, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! I'm going to tell you something. When you're a real child of God, men, we won't have to pull your ponytail up to see if you're a man or a woman. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're a real child of God, lady, we won't have to have a fur inspection, amen, to make sure you're a woman. You'll look like a woman. You'll dress like a woman. You will, oh, come on, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. You'll act like a woman. You will behave like a woman. Woman, you will look like a woman. My God, give us some more men that look like men and act like men and dress like men and walk like men and talk like men. Woo! Hallelujah. I am just sick of filthy. Now, God have mercy. Woo! Just get away from me and I mean it. Woo! God have mercy. Oh, glory. Huh? Oh, glory. Hear me. Amen. Swallow some gravels. Gargle in some sandpaper or something. Amen. Get the twist out of your wrist. Oh, come on here. And act like a man. And talk like a man. And live like a man. And be a man. Woo! I don't even know a woman coming over here. What do you know? And where'd you come from, woman? Whoa. What's up with you? Huh? With her old blue jeans on. My Lord God, haircut like a man. Lord have mercy. I tell you, I've had enough of that. Aren't you glad you look like a child of God? Woo! I said, aren't you glad that you can still have an identity and identify yourself as blood-washed, Holy Ghost-washed, blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled, hallelujah, and on your way to God's heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah. Let me tell you something. I don't fit in with this world. Oh, and as he thought about those well-watered plains. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me. While he thought about those well-watered plains, let me tell you what the man forgot. When he thought about going into Sodom, let me tell you what Sodom and what Lot forgot about. He forgot about his wife. He forgot about his two daughters. Woo! He forgot about the faith of Father Abraham. He forgot about the altars of Abraham. Oh, God. And he went on. And he moved a little closer. And he moved a little closer. And he moved a little closer to destruction. I'm sure you've heard the story years ago that the men was trying out for that truck driving job. And the boss asked them all the same question. Said, how close can you get to the edge and not go over? And one guy said, oh, I'd come that close. Another guy said, dang, I'd come that close. Third guy, they asked him, said, well, I probably haven't got the job. He said, I'll tell you right now. He said, I'm getting as far away from the edge as I can. The man said, you're the man I'm looking for. Woo! Hallelujah. We've got too many riding on the rim. We've got too many riding on the edge. Too many leaning over. Amen. Too far. Too many got their feet towards Canaan and their face towards Sodom. Oh, come on here now. Let me tell you something. I'm not interested in riding the edge. I'm trying to get in the middle. I'm not trying to ride the edge. I'm looking for the old paths. I'm looking for the old landmarks. I'm looking for the highway of holiness. That's what I want to get in. Right in the middle. You can have the edge if you want it. I'll take the middle of the road of holiness. Woo! Somebody say that? You see, Lot made an initial commitment. He made an initial consecration. Initially, it was sort of convincing. But the problem was that Lot, like a whole lot of people sitting in our churches, they have no convictions. I'm going to run that by you one more time. I said he showed a commitment. He showed a concern. He showed a consecration. He acted like he was convinced. But he never got any convictions. He said, preacher, how come our young people leave the church? They never got convictions in their heart. How come people come to church and they leave after a while? They don't have any convictions. Now, everyone understand what I'm fixing to say right here, right now. Because I want to qualify. The biggest Jezebel in the whole wide world could sing up here and not affect me in the least. You know what I'm saying? They could have 10 televisions. Wouldn't affect, well, you say me no affect. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, it wouldn't change what I believe. You know what I'm saying? But there's others. You say, well, why do we have platforms standing? Well, first of all, I think it's right, okay? Secondly, because when you put up people that don't represent what you stand for, then sad to say there are people among us who don't have convictions, and they would be totally confused. And, well, she can sing with makeup on, I can. Hey, listen, I don't care who can sing or who can dance or who can speak in tongues. I want to know who's going to go to heaven. That's what's mattering to me, brothers and sisters. Woo! Your talents won't take you to heaven. Your abilities won't take you to heaven. Your power to woo the crowd will not take you to heaven. It's going to take being washed in the blood. It's going to take living a life of holiness. It's going to take coming out from the world. It's going to take identifying with the Lamb of God and with the Word and with the Bible and with truth if you're going to make it to God's eternal heaven. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He lost his identity. Some of our churches have completely lost their identity. Junior was telling me the other day, church I preached in years ago, down at Augusta Church of God, Augusta, Maine. He said he went there not too long ago, and I don't know if he said the song leader or somebody up there was singing song. Song leader up there. Little queer ring in his ear. You understand? In a Pentecostal Church of God. That's a Pentecostal denomination. Yeah. And he's up there with a little queer ring leading the song service. God, you tell me we haven't lost our identity? I'm telling you, folks. You say, well, I'll never go for that. Don't tell me you wouldn't go for that. Every time you step towards Sodom, every time you compromise your convictions, every time you back up on what God told you to believe, come on here. Every time you rebel against the truth, every time you turn back on the man of God, when he preaches holiness, you pull it back. you want us to lose our identity, well, you're in the wrong place. Because, brother, by the grace of God, as long as I'm here, we're going to wave the banner. We're going to lift the standard. We're going to stand for truth and holiness and righteousness, not just in words, but in our hearts and in deeds. Somebody say amen. Oh, glory. Well, I've got to hurry. Hallelujah. No amens for that, please. Hallelujah. Oh, the tragedy was this. He lost his influence. Oh, he first lost his identity, then he lost his influence. Oh, my God, my God, my God. You see, by camping on the edge of hell, he lost that influence. When the angels came by and they said, Lot, we're fixing to destroy this place. We're going to burn it down with fire. Lot, of course, still had enough within him to realize, hey, this is serious business. And he began to go and he went to his sons-in-laws. And he said, boys, we got to get out of here. This place is going to be destroyed. But the Bible said he seemed as one who mocked. Oh, God. He lost his influence. Oh, I don't want to lose my influence. I want to live a life, oh God, that I can influence people toward what's right, that I can influence people toward holiness. I can influence people toward salvation and deliverance and the power of God. But hear me. When you live a double life, you'll lose your influence. When you shout on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday, you're going to have no influence. Oh, come on now. When you just talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, you're going to lose your influence. Hear this preacher, man. I can't make my boys live right or my daughter live right. I can't make any of you live right. Can't make my wife live right. But let me tell you what I can do. Let me tell you what I can do. I can live right myself. And as long as I live right myself and live what I preach and preach the gospel, then my family will have to say, well, maybe we're not doing what Dad says, but Dad's not preaching anything that he's not living himself. I'm not insinuating that or not, but I'm just simply saying, as long as I will live right, as long as I will walk right, as long as I will hold forth the truth, and in my life and outside the doors of this church and at my house, amen, show the example of Christ to my family, then brothers and sisters, I may not can make my brothers and sisters and nobody else live right, but I can have an influence of righteousness upon their lives. I don't want to lose. Saddest of all. Saddest of all. He lost that fear of God and of judgment. Now listen. The Bible said when the morning came, he'd been visited by angels. Mocked by his family. But when the morning came, the angels had to come by and get him by the hand. The Bible said, because while he yet lingered. While he yet lingered, the angels being merciful got him by the hand and began to pull him. Close here just a few minutes. If you can't see we're at the end of time, you'll never see it. If you can't understand this is the last of the last days, you'll never get it. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do one more time this morning in this building. God sent me one more time
for somebody in this service to get you by the hand and tell you, you better get out of Sodom because the fire is getting ready to fall. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm closing. I said, somebody in this building, you better get out of Sodom because the fire is getting ready to fall. While he lingered.
Because I have loved you, say it to me, and I have drawn you. Because I have seen in my heart a desire for my race. Yea, though thou art surrounded by the enemy, yea, though thou art surrounded by the powers of darkness, yea, I shall give to thee life, and I shall deliver thee this day. And that will turn and leave a fall of my heart and my mind and my soul and my spirit. Yea, thy soul shall be delivered. Though others may perish, though your loved ones may perish, I will deliver thy soul, saith the Lord. If you will this day follow my heart, seek and confess my sin, I shall see. I shall be. I shall be. Oh, God.
I've done my very best today. Lord, I really believe, God, that you laid this gospel.